This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin is brought to you by Stoke Seeds. Select from the finest quality vegetable and flower seed at stokeseeds.com and get growing with Stokes.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show. I'm the newest transplant in the garden of Charlie Dobbin's life, Dean Holland. And how are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm nice and warm, I'm happy to say, but it is really crisp and chilly out there.
Yeah, us too. We're up here, and of course, you're in your home studio in Prince Edward County. I am in my home studio in Collingwood, Ontario. Collingwood is showing about a minus 22 today with a minus 29 with the wind chill. How about you?
Well, it was minus 22 when I got up, but the sun came up and the temperature has gone up. I think we're up to minus 21 and a half now.
It's balmy in Prince Edward County.
The sun is making a difference for sure. I mean, and we've got snow coming, which I'm very excited about. I love a good snowstorm.
Yeah, and we have lots of snow up here. So the ski hills up in Blue Mountain are doing very well. And we got lots of snow.
Yeah, which is great. You've had the cold weather to make snow, which is excellent.
In addition, we've had a lot of natural snow anyway. My family has got an arrangement of snow people in the front yard and up and down the street. You can see them. So, enough to build snow people. Absolutely. As long as it's about minus two, I think they can manufacture snow.
Excellent. I like that. We're pretty green here, a little dusting, but I say, snow's coming, so I'm excited. Hey, you sent me a photograph of a very beautiful amaryllis that you have successfully grown.
Yes, very excited. And I also sent you a picture, the picture that I originally sent you, of course, back on December 18th when I purchased it, when it was just a little nub, and it's crazy how in less than a month it can do what it does.
I know. And the thing I always say, it's the best gift you can give anybody, because anybody who wants to grow an amaryllis, particularly, brand new, fresh from the store, preferably the bigger the bulb, the better the plants will be. Anybody can grow them. And it's just a wonderful way to feel like spring is in the air. And I, too, am a gardener.
Yeah. And you know what? I got to tell you, you and I were both a little perplexed by the container that my amaryllis came in, because it was a glass vase with gravel in the bottom. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, at the end of the day, the advantage is that I can see exactly where the water line is because it's in gravel. And I'm making sure that it, as you say, just kisses the bottom of the bulb.
Nice. So, hey, why don't you give the phone number so that we can get some calls in? We love your questions and tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that the phone lines are already starting to go. However, there's lots of room anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere toll-free in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Okay. And do let Carlos know if you are a first time caller. He'll make a little note on the screen there, and then we will give you your garden wings. Right. And we love to do that. And we love you to call often, call early, and one question per call, please. I'm also going to give out an email if you'd prefer, and I'll give this out through the show, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. That is another way that you can send Charlie a question. Okay. Now, have you got anything big and exciting coming up in your world, Charlie?
Not super exciting at this point. I'll tell you a bit about a date that I think I do have coming up in March, which is quite exciting. And it's a continuation of the documentary series I've been hosting for MZ Media called Healing Gardens. And I'm pretty excited about some upcoming events with the show.
Okay, so we'll talk about that throughout the show. Right now, we're going to go to our first break, and then we'll start taking some callers.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back on The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland. I'm going to give you those numbers again before we get to our first caller. Anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Or if you live anywhere else in the lovely and beautiful and snowy province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And we have Joan on the line from Burlington. How are you this morning, Joan?
I am well. Thank you very much. And how are you?
I'm doing great.
Happy New Year to both of you. Hello?
Go ahead, Joan.
Okay, I received a plant of a bromeliad this week. I have never seen one in life before. The instructions on the tag are so small, I just cannot read it. So I'm asking you, how do I water it? How often, and how often do I fertilize it?
So the bromeliad you received, does it have a pink flower or red flower?
Red.
Sorry, I missed that.
It's a red one.
It's a red one. Yeah. Okay. So green leaves, shiny green leaves. Actually, if you look at it, it looks a lot like the top of a pineapple because pineapples are members of the same family, the bromeliad family. Mm-hmm. And they are very long-lasting flowers, which is one of the reasons we love them. What you want is just regular room temperature, so no special temperature, bright light. So the brightest spot in your house would be optimal. I wouldn't put it directly in a window. I try and keep it at least a foot away from the window because they don't like the cold coming off the glass, mm-hmm. but they do need that nice bright spot. And the only place you water them is in the center of the plant, down into that crown of leaves. Mm-hmm. You don't bother watering the soil at all. Room temperature water poured carefully with your watering can down into that cone of leaves, and you keep water in there all the time. So check every couple of days, every 2-3 days, depends how humid your place is and how bright it is and what temperature it is. But you will replenish that water and you'll fill it up, and what will happen is the water overflows down over the leaves down to the roots. They have tiny, tiny root systems. Most of their moisture, et cetera, is absorbed through the leaves. So that's why you keep that liquid there. Fertilizing is not super important. In your case, it's a brand new plant. So maybe mix up a weak solution of just an all-purpose fertilizer or a flowering plant fertilizer. Mm-hmm. In a month or so, or two, you know, and again, you'll just water with the weak fertilizer solution. And that's not a bad idea. But remember, use room temperature water, so make sure it's been sitting out overnight.
Okay, now it goes into the leaves and not into the flower, the water?
It wouldn't hurt in the flower. It'll all dribble down out of the flower as well. They do, if you've got a mister, a little spritzer, not a bad idea. You can spritz the plant, you know, take it over to the kitchen sink and do a whole spritz so it's really dripping. And you can spritz the flower as well.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed. Thank you.
And enjoy it for sure. They last for years and years and years. They're a really lovely, lovely plant.
I had a pink one once. Joan has reminded me of the pink one that I had.
That's why I asked. The pink one is the more common, but suddenly now all of a sudden we're seeing that red one.
Well, and I'd forgotten about it, and I was moving once, and I had somebody helping me move, and of course, one of the last trips, if you've ever moved, is the car full of plants, right? And
yes.
So I remember I was sitting in the back seat, and I had something in my arms that was delicate, and sitting beside me was the
bromeliad.
Bromeliad. Anyway, so then the car turned to the left, and the bromeliad tipped over and dumped that whole cup of water right all over me. And that's my memory of my pink plant. Yeah, there you go. And I went, just caught my breath. There you go. We have another caller on the line from St. Kitts, St. Catharines. I know it is St. Kitts. Trudy on the line, and she's a first-time caller. How are you, Trudy?
I'm doing very well, and how about you guys?
I am well. I got to give you your garden wings, my dear.
Oh, thank
there
you.
There we go. Earned them.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a young evergreen tree. It's a fir. It's about 4 feet tall. And this is the second year I've had it. And I wrapped it the first year in the winter to protect it from the cold winds. And I wrapped it again this year. How many years do I need to wrap that? I'm in a residential area. It's on my northeast corner.
And do you know, is it a, what's called a silver fir? It's got a really pretty kind of a dusty blue leaves? Or
no,
or,
no. No, when I picked it up, the guy wasn't sure what kind it was.
Fir trees are native to North America, and they are, tend to be very, very tough. So personally, on a northeast corner is probably pretty optimal. I hope you've given it lots of room because they do tend to become large plants. Yeah. You shouldn't need to wrap it again in the future. Not a bad idea the first winter with any evergreen, just because they don't have a lot of roots out yet.
Right.
It's nice to wrap them just so that they don't lose excess moisture with the sun and the wind and everything battering them all winter. But, you know, after a couple of springs and summers and the, you know, the plant gets much more established as the roots get growing, the plants can usually withstand our regular winters. So if it's not super sunny and it's not super windy, I wouldn't wrap it in the future.
Okay, super. Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to know.
Excellent. Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Thanks, Trudy.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we have to take another break, but when we come back, we'll get to another caller.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Indeed, this is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio, and I'm Dean Holland, and we have another caller on the line. And another first-time caller from Etobicoke. We've got Sandy. How are you this morning?
I'm just fine, thank you. I'm looking forward to being on the show. I've never done this before.
Well, I know because Carlos told us you're a first-time caller, so there you go. You're well-earned garden wings.
Dealing. Okay, good.
Welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you very much. My question, well, it's not really a question. I just wanted to say that I got an amaryllis for my mother and myself, and we had a competition back in November, started, and it was a waxed amaryllis. So right. No water, no dirt, no nothing. Mm-hmm. And they did beautifully, and I just wondered why they work that way, and can you do it with other tubers? I mean, it's sort of a silly question, but your amaryllis.
Not really. You know, amaryllis are pretty amazing. When you bought those waxed bulbs, they're big bulbs and they're heavy. They weigh, you know, a lot. So what that tells you is that there's a lot of energy in that bulb when you buy it. It's dormant, it's waxed, there's nothing going on, but everything required for that plant to grow is inside that bulb.
It's already inside.
So that's what happens, is that you and your mom put them probably in windowsills and watch them sprout from that energy in the bulb. Bottom line, of course, is that this is not a keeper plant. It's compost once it's done. But at the same time, it's just so amazing. It's like Dean's growing in gravel. I mean, it's just, you know, life right before your very eyes with no soil, no pots, no nothing in the way.
No maintenance. And it was fun because we shared photos back and forth, you know, week by week. And it was amazing. It just
yeah,
worked.
That's cool. And just so you know, amaryllis flower. So if you ever, like once they flower, they send up that big flower stem with all the beautiful flowers up on the top, and it's hollow if you've ever cut off the flower stem. Amaryllis flowers actually last longer cut off the bulb than they do left on the bulb. So they make an excellent cut flower. And and your question of could you do this with another bulb? Technically, you could, but not just any bulb. Like, I could see this working with, say, hyacinths. The trick, though, of course, is that the bulbs we grow that come up in the spring, so daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, etc., they need a cold period before they'll flower, whereas amaryllis is a tropical bulb, and it doesn't need any special treatment. It just naturally blooms during our winter when it would naturally bloom in its home of South Africa when it would be, obviously, peak summer.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. Nice to visit. Okay.
Who won the competition with your mom?
Well, I think I did because one came up, you know, one shoot came up and it was beautiful, and she had one shoot, and then my second one grew, and I got three blooms off it.
Nice.
I don't know why, but I think I won. She told me I won.
Well, so you had two flower stems, which is gorgeous. I actually have one in front of me now that's right now on my desk. It's sending up its third flower stem. So, yes, indeed, they just keep on giving those amaryllis.
It was a humorous thing for me and my mom to share together over the holiday season.
Yeah, exactly. Great idea.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much. Take care.
Thanks so much, Sandy. Yeah, thank you.
Good share.
You know what? Just because we're talking about amaryllis, you got an email as well. And so we'll address this now because it's a related question. Hi, Charlie and Dean. This is from Joan in Ottawa. Actually, somebody that I know, lovely lady. And she says, my beautiful double amaryllis had 10 blooms. It was magnificent. And Joan hopes to keep it so it can bloom again next year. What do I need to make this happen?
Great question, Joan. Thank you. And actually, while I'm looking at some of these emails from a week or so, 2 weeks ago, we also have an email from Philomena Concepcion. She writes with photographs and says, I don't know what these plants are. I got them as gifts. There's no instructions. How do I care for them? And of course, they are amaryllis as well. So I hope Philomena is listening. And of course, I'm sure Joan is listening. Thanks for your questions. All right. We already know they're easy to grow. Very simple. Be careful to not overwater if they are in soil. Feel the water before you water them. The only way you can kill an amaryllis would be by too much water. It would rot if you keep that soil wet all the time. Keep them in a bright spot. Remember to turn them in the window, otherwise they'll tend to lean over because they ultimately become top heavy. With those massive big blooms, they become top heavy and then the whole plant will fall over. Because you do want to keep the pot on the dry side rather than keeping it moist and heavy in the pot. So at the end of the day, at some point those flowers are going to fade. They don't last forever. Enjoy them while you've got them. But when they fade away and they shrivel up and don't look very pretty, excuse me, get out your scissors or pruners, cut off the flowers, the past flowers, leave the green flower stem until it shrivels up. Meanwhile, green leaves are emerging from the bulbs. You need to leave those green leaves and you need to grow this plant as a houseplant. So it's going to have these big, what we call strap-like leaves, and they're going to be big. They're going to go from being a 6-inch pot to taking up a couple of feet of table space because the leaves are big and they flop and they're quite, showy in their own way. But you have to let those green leaves grow if you want to have this bulb flower next year. The leaves are doing their job, and their job is to photosynthesize. They're absorbing the sunlight that they're receiving through that bright window that you've got the plant placed in. They're when they photosynthesize, of course, they convert light energy or sun energy into carbohydrate, and they store that back in the bulb. So we go from what starts as a nice firm big bulb early in December to a smaller bulb after it flowers, letting the leaves grow, of course, we get back to that big fat bulb again, even bigger than last time. So let it grow. Just let it grow as a greenhouse plant. Get it outside in the spring once the frost has passed and leave it outside. Just pots of amaryllis. I end up with them everywhere in my patio. Let them grow green leaves in pots. Don't water them very often. Put them in a spot where they're not going to get rained on all the time, or make sure that they're well drained. They're not sitting in water. And then by about the middle or end of August, I just take these pots of green plants and I stick them in my basement. Let them turn yellow, stop watering, and it's dark.
Wow.
And no water, just just dry little desert-like pots with shriveled up yellow leaves. And I let them sit there till, believe it or not, flowers start to grow again in the basement with no water.
Wow, do you bring them out in December?
Yeah, and then you bring them out once you see the flowers emerge. So it could be middle of December, or it could be the end of December. But it takes a good 10 or so weeks for the flowers to start to emerge. The one thing I had funny that happened this year that I've never had before is that my amaryllis bloomed last summer as well as last winter. So they, instead of waiting for a whole year, they were so happy, they decided to bloom again. So that blooming last summer has affected their blooming this winter. Mm. So I did my treatment, but I'm not getting any flowers, stems emerging. So I've just now brought them out to give them sunshine, and the leaves will grow. We'll do the whole thing again, and hopefully I'll get flowers next Christmas and not this summer.
Well, and you got them in the summer because, well, you're Charlie Dobbin, and see, you know, they know. So they're like pushing them out going, I know who I'm in the company of.
I was going to say, or, you know, somebody like Darren Maharaj drops by with his Zoomer News camera and they're like, yeah. Oh, we want to be the star. We want to be the star. So they're blooming completely out of season.
They know. That's hilarious. Okay. I'm going to give out those numbers again. We do have lines open and then we'll get to another caller. 416-360-0740. If you are anywhere in Toronto, or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, use our toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. And as I mentioned earlier, I am in my Collingwood home studio. You are in Prince Edward County. And, of course, everything is pulled together by our trusty Carlos, who, of course, is at Zoomerplex. And that's where the calls come in. And he keeps everything going together. And we love Carlos so much. Couldn't do it without him. And we're going to Keswick now, okay? On the line, I have got Mary. How are you this morning, Mary?
I'm fine, thank you. And all your calls have been about amaryllises, or maybe I should say amaryllisi, but mine is as well.
Well, Charlie said before the show that we tend to get a lot of amaryllis questions in January, a lot of those questions, because so many of us have them blooming.
Right. I have, I take my amaryllises in about late October, early November, and I have just brought them out last week. But one of them, when it went into hibernation, so to speak, had a green leaf on it already growing, and I assumed that it was just going to die off, but it hasn't. So I'm in a quandary as to whether or not I should cut it off or just leave it. And when I take when I've taken them out other years, I don't water them until I see growth on the bulb. So that's my little predicament.
No, it's a good question, actually. Just, I mean, that's consistent with, you know, mine flowering at the wrong time. And same kind of thing. The leaves, even in the dark, the leaves were starting to emerge. Right. So if you've got... there was a green leaf on the amaryllis when it went into the dark back in October. Now you're pulling it out. The leaf is still there, though it's obviously very pale. I would not cut it off. When you're seeing some growth, particularly even if it's white growth because they've been in the dark, as soon as you get the plant into the light, that white will turn green. I would give some water. Typically what I do is I water all my amaryllis just once when I bring them out of hibernation, give them one thorough watering, and then I let them just sit in the sunshine and I wait to see what happens.
So I should leave this on then. It's nice and green now, but I don't think it's grown anymore.
It will with some water.
Pardon me?
If you water it, it will grow.
Okay, that one. And I have been growing them for quite some time, and so that's why I, and I believe it was Ed Lawrence's, pardon me, I try to get all the information I can. He said that you should just leave them until they show signs of life. So that's when I switched to not watering, because I am so afraid of overwatering.
Yeah.
But no, and he's right. Once I water, I don't water anymore until they grow.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the fact that you put them into the dark dormant period for the 10-week requirement, you've brought them out of that dormancy. Absolutely. If you've got them up in room temperature, in bright light, you know, if they are alive, which they likely are, they will start to show some little tiny bits of growth, whether it's a flower stem growth or leaf stem growth. You will see little tips. And as soon as you see that, then do water.
I just want to add, too, some people think that I'm a little crazy leaving them so late. But I must say it's very refreshing to see them coming blooming when everything outside is so snowy and dark and nothing else is growing.
I hear you on that. You're right. And you're right. At Christmas time, we tend to have things like Christmas cactus and poinsettia and other color. So it's always a joy to have flowers in the house.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Thanks for your call. Hey, Dean, you know, speaking of, and Mary and to all our listeners, speaking of color in the house, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a couple of weeks, I think, but, you know, something we can do, even starting now, though I would wait a couple of weeks, is if you have flowering, early flowering shrubs in or trees in your property, on your property, for example, a forsythia, you know, the shrub with the yellow flowers?
Yes, the yellow, yeah.
Yeah, so I have one that needs some pruning, and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prune it in the winter.
Oh, you can do that?
Absolutely. I'm going to bring in the stems that I prune off, and I'm going to put them in a vase, and I'm going to enjoy blooming forsythia branches inside my home in the middle of the dark days of winter. But I haven't done it yet. I'm going to wait a couple of weeks.
Holy camole. You know, I grew up with forsythia, but I don't have one on my property. I kind of miss it. Like, it reminds me of my childhood because we did have quite a big forsythia bush.
Yeah, they get huge. That's why we prune them.
Yeah. So I might just have to take a little trip down to your place and snip off some for my house.
For sure. Well, and, you know, there's other early blooming shrubs. Like, for example, some people have fruit trees, apples, peaches, pears, plums. We do our pruning on those in late winter. So if you do have a fruit tree or a crab apple and you're doing some late winter pruning, don't compost what you're pruning. Take it inside and enjoy it in the house. It will flower inside those branches.
That is really neat. Charlie, we're going to go to Lindsay, a little bit closer your direction. We've got Gail on the line. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. How's the temperature there?
About 23 minus.
Yeah. We seem to be all in about the same boat.
I think so. I just want to thank you for your show. I truly enjoy it. And my question to you this morning is, I purchased a new plant this past summer called an angel wing. And I absolutely love this plant. It grew like crazy, so I didn't want to lose it. I brought it in. It's been doing great until about the last, I'd say, week and a half, and it's starting to shrivel up. I do have it by a bright window. I'm not sure what I should be doing at this point, or is it something that's going to go through the winter for me?
It should. So the angel wing, the proper name on that is Datura. I'm assuming, was it white flowers, yellow flowers?
Yes, it's just a white fuzzy leaf.
Right. And it flowered for you last summer, I assume.
I never saw any flowers. It just got really big and a lot of leaves. I never saw flowers. I didn't know it did flower, so that's even a bonus to hear that.
Angel wing, could it be a begonia? Is it you know what, you might have to send me a photograph. I'm just thinking, well, I guess so. Yeah, angel's trumpet is Datura, but you said angel's wing.
Angel wings, it's what it was called. I don't know the Latin name. The leaves look like the color of Dusty Miller, and they're fuzzy like that, and they're soft, but they're like a great big I'm going to say like a big teardrop. And it grew from about 3 to 4 inches high when I purchased it to at least 12 inches high. And it's probably, I would say now, about 14 inches wide. It got many, many leaves.
Hmm. Okay. So I think, I'm just trying to think of, so there's an angel wing begonia, but angel wing begonia is not green and fuzzy. Okay, but there are some other very popular annual flowers used in the garden that are, used because they're that green fuzzy, gray fuzzy, like a Dusty Miller.
Yes.
It makes a beautiful contrast with other garden plants.
Yes,
so will it survive? Yes. Okay, so here's, I'm not positive of exactly what plant you have, but here's what it probably needs. Number one, it needs bright spot. Have you got it in a bright sunny window?
Yes.
Be very careful to not overwater. All of our houseplants, we have this tendency when we bring in outdoor plants is we keep them on the same watering regime that we used in the summer. But of course, in the winter, they don't use nearly as much water. So be very, very careful. Even if it's, how big is the pot that it's in?
The pot's at least 14 inches wide and about, well, 12 inches deep or at least.
Do you have something called a moisture meter?
No, I don't.
I would get one. When you're dealing with a pot that big, it's very hard to know when to water. We feel the surface and it feels very dry. We stick our finger down, it still feels dry. Yeah. But because of the depth of that pot, there could be lots of moisture down below where we can actually feel with our fingers. A moisture meter is a little probe. They're about 12 inches deep. Mm-hmm. A little battery-operated gizmo on top, you jam the probe into the soil and it will give you a readout on the moisture level in your soil down at that depth. And that can be a good thing. And I think that with a big pot and with something like that, you want to err on the side of under rather than over watering. So what I would do is no more water, bright sunny spot, keep it out of drafts, right? No hot air, no cold air, just room temperature. No misting should be required. Like I wouldn't put water on the leaves. It's good if you've got higher humidity using a pebble tray. So just that either other plants providing and sharing humidity or a tray with gravel. Plant sits on top of the tray full of gravel. Water is in the tray at all times. Will help. And get out your pruners and be prepared. You are going to end up cutting that plant back, probably much further than you expect to. And you're going to do that either sort of now because it's demanding it, dropping its leaves, or in the next few weeks. And by doing that cutting back, you're going to promote new growth. The days are getting longer and plants are responding to that. So it could be, you know, today it could be 2 or 3 weeks from now, but you are going to end up cutting that plant back. It probably down to about half the size it is now, but don't water.
All right. Thank you for your advice. That's good.
Thank you so much.
I will get a meter. Thank you.
And get it. Yeah. You'll find they really help with the big plants.
Great. All right. Thanks so much for your call, Gail. Okay, Charlie, gotta take another break, and then when we come back, we've got some more callers. We'll be right back with The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back with The Gardening Show. I'm Dean Holland. And Charlie, you have a quick update for Gail and Lindsay, yeah?
Yeah. Just when she was talking about a plant called Angel Wing or Angel Wings, it's not a begonia for anybody who's listening. And Gail, if you're still listening, Senecio, S as in Sam, E, N as in Norway, E, C as in Charlie, I, O, Senecio. If you want to look it up, that's the genus. And I have nothing to add because what I said was perfectly correct. But just if that is the proper name, if you want to look it up for more information. One quick addendum, it is poisonous to cats and dogs and small children, so don't let anybody chew on it.
Okay. As a general rule, I got to tell you, I try not to let anybody chew on any of my house plants.
So well, but even outdoor plants.
Yeah.
No, you never know.
I love that. I was just thinking during the break that it's hard to believe this. We're already in this is our third show of 2022 already. That's crazy.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. One of my favorite things about co-hosting the show with you is all just hearing from people from all over the province. I love it. And we get to go to Guelph now. No, we're going to Pickering. Pickering. We're going to talk to Bill in Pickering. How are you this morning, Bill?
I'm well, thanks. Nice and bright. Cold, but bright. That's good.
Yeah,
indeed.
Charlie, I'm calling about Diatomaceous.
Diatomaceous.
You got it. I've got a whole bunch of geranium mother plants that I brought in September, and a bunch of coleus, which I've got, and they're just blooming wild and doing great. But then fungus gnats. And I heard that you can use soil, and how do I use it properly? Because apparently it kills off all those sort of critters.
Okay, so a very good question. So the reason you're calling it diatome is because diatomaceous earth is made from diatoms. And diatoms were living sea creatures, and they're dead, and they are ground up, pulverized into what looks like a white powder to us, but actually looks like shards of glass to a small insect. And so even though it's called diatomaceous earth, the way we use it is we'll typically sprinkle it on the surface of the soil. We'll use it outside around hostas, as an example, or inside on our houseplants. And what it does is it lacerates the bellies of insects as they crawl over the surface of the soil. And when it lacerates their little bellies, of course, all their liquids ooze out and they die. And we're very happy about that. For you, in your situation with your geraniums and coleus, and they're big mother plants, they're in pots, and you've got fungus gnats. The reason you have fungus gnats is because you're watering too much and you're growing fungus in your soil, which feeds the fungus gnats, because that's what they're really eating. They're eating the fungus. They're not really eating the plants. But they look like fruit flies, and they're irritating, and they bug you that they're flying around every time you look at the plants. And if you bang the side of the pot, a whole cloud of what looks like fruit flies flies out of the pot. Those are, as you realize, fungus gnats.
Yeah.
The ones with wings are the adults. They are not eating anything, but they are looking for a good place to lay eggs. When they lay their eggs in the soil, so in that nice moist potting mix in your pots. The eggs hatch, and what hatches out are little tiny, tiny, almost microscopic white larvae, so little tiny grubs, if you will, and it's those little creatures that are eating the fungus. So two things you can do. One is pull way back on your watering, only water these plants when it's really required. So feel the surface, stick your fingers down, get a moisture meters, do whatever you need to do to pull back on your watering, keep the plants alive. But it is winter, so don't, you know, keep them always moist. Let them really dry between waterings. And what I use very effectively on fungus gnat adults, the ones that are flying around, is something called sticky sticks. You can get them at any of your home centers or your garden centers. So sticky, of course, S-T-I-C-K-Y, sticks, X, sorry, S-T-I-X, sticky sticks. And follow the instructions and use those little sticky sticks in the pots of the plants. The adults are attracted to the yellow sticky paper. It's like flypaper. They get stuck into the yellow stuff and they die. And the idea is you want them to die before they lay eggs. So it'll take a couple of weeks, but you will be able to eliminate them if you pull back watering and use some sticky sticks.
Well, I really enjoy, I agree with you with the sticky sticks. I've got one in almost every pot right now, and they're getting dark as they go. You know, they're catching a lot. Drying down, I'm not watering until my water meter says dry, completely dry.
Okay.
So I'm wondering
And you could use that diatomaceous earth sprinkled on the surface of the soil as well, if you wish.
So, all right.
Thanks so much, Bill. We got to go. We have our last break before the show's over.
Yes, we do.
Way too fast.
Yeah, it absolutely does. But we'll take that break and then we'll try and get another caller in. Okay, here we go.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back on The Garden Show, and we're going to jump right into a caller from Guelph, Agnes. And Agnes is a first-time caller. How
yes,
are you, Agnes?
Hi.
Morning, Agnes.
Good morning,
there your
Charlie
wings, my dear.
And Dean. Thank you. And I would like to ask you if you know about the Star of Bethlehem. We have a problem with it in our vegetable garden and in our lawn, and we don't know how to get rid of it.
Oh, okay. So this is what I love about common names, because Star of Bethlehem is many plants.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, this is a bulb. They're little bulbs, and they multiply, and it has a beautiful white flower. I think it's 5 petals.
Right, so proper name being Ornithogalum. Sorry about that. Bless you. So you want to get rid of it?
You there, Agnes?
Yes, sorry.
Did you say you want to get rid of this plant?
Yes. Because it's just spreading everywhere.
Right, but if it's like in the lawn and stuff, just enjoy the flowers early in the spring and then just mow it down. Like it doesn't, go ahead.
It's like the bulbs seem to multiply so much, and when we turn the soil, they just, you know, it gets it takes
more
over the wider and wider area, so it's everywhere. And we tried to eliminate it just by picking up the bulbs, but it doesn't seem to. We didn't use any spray, but we just don't seem. And I Googled it too, but I can't find anything to get rid of it, to eliminate them completely.
Yeah. So your problem is an interesting problem. Most people wouldn't want to get rid of that plant. They would enjoy the flowers in the spring and then just mow it down if it's in the lawn and then it disappears.
Yes.
In the garden, I can understand why it might be a bit more challenging. It's like chives. If you've ever planted a chive plant, before you know it, your entire garden is chives.
Because those
little tiny, tiny bulbs, well, first of all, the flowers go to seed and then the seeds germinate, and before you know it, you've got, you know, an acreage of chives, or in your case, an acreage of ornithogalum. If you really, like I said, I would not try and eliminate them in the lawn. I would just enjoy them and then mow them down. In the garden, you could suffocate them with just some newspaper in the spring, or put newspaper down in the fall, and soil on top of that, and they theoretically won't grow through that in the spring, which will ultimately kill them. You could use a herbicide, one of the vinegar-based herbicides that are available for us. Well, they're not selective. When you spray the herbicide onto the green leaves and the white flowers of these little tiny plants in the spring, it will kill those. It will also kill anything else that it contacts. So you'd have to be very careful that you only spray what you're trying to kill.
Okay, we'll try that then. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, digging.
Okay.
And I also my amaryllis blooming twice in July, and now, actually, it's blooming now, too.
Good for you. There you go. See, you're beating me. Mine went in July, and they're not blooming yet.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Agnes. Yeah, just the idea of killing all those little bulbs. But anyway, okay.
Yeah. Do we have time to answer a quick email or question? Or
We got 2 minutes.
I know we're really tight.
Well, did you have one of your personal questions you wanted to slide in?
Well, I did, actually. You know what? I put in a little vegetable garden this year. Some pickles, some cucumbers, peas, some lettuce, and some beans. And my question is, mine was a fairly small plot, and they always give you so many seeds, my goodness, in the packs. And so now I've still got them, and I'm just wondering, you know, in my mind, I should be able to still use them in the spring, or should I really get new fresh seeds?
That's a really good question, actually. Different seeds are, different kinds of seeds are different. So, for example, if you had corn seeds left over from last year, I would say trash them, compost them. They're not going to grow. If you have tomato seeds left over from last year, I'd say, definitely grow them. They'll grow fine. So it's different seeds, different genus will are more viable than others, depending on how you care for them and what exactly varieties they are. You can do a germination test, and I can tell you really quickly what you would do. A moist paper towel, put 10 seeds of the 10, say, pea seeds into moist paper towel, close up the paper towel, put it in a warm spot, even just on the kitchen counter, on a plate with a little bit of saran wrap over top just to keep the moisture in, and leave it for 10 days or so, up to 2 weeks. Check every day. At some point, those seeds will germinate in the paper towel. Count how many survive, and that will give you an idea of your germination viability. If you get 9 out of 10 growing, you're good to go. If you get 1 out of 10 growing, toss the seeds.
That's okay. Fabulous. Thanks. I want to give out your email just before. If you have a question you want to email Charlie, her email is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. And my goodness, as you said earlier, the time flies.
It sure does. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all your great calls. Thank you, Carlos. Couldn't do any of this without you. And Dean, it's been a slice. You're a good little transplant. We got you sprouting along there. You're doing good. You're thriving, my friend.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks.
See
and you
all
have a great
again.
Week. Yeah.
Next week. Yeah.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.